The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Off the ball, GAA.
Do you know, do I miss being at the matches and going, do you know, being on the bus? And you do a bit, or do you miss the thing? But what you miss is the journey. You miss planning. You know, as I said, like the 2 weeks now after the Limerick game came up, the Waterford game, they would have been so enjoyable.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. We're on your radio until 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Gerry Thornley of the Irish Times from 7:30. He's going to help us preview Ulster against Montpellier, Leinster against Bordeaux in the Challenge Cup and Champions Cup finals respectively this weekend. From 8 to 9, we're going to have Richie Hogan in studio. We bumped him up a day this week because we just couldn't wait to get his thoughts on the madness in the Provincial Hurling Championships at the moment. So D-Day for a couple of counties when it comes to the Leinster Championship this weekend. We'll get his take as well on the championship structure / promotion of hurling debate, which seems to be raging in the aftermath of Peter Queeley's comments from last weekend as well. And then between 9 and 10, as always, the football show is coming your way. Owen Doyle will be in studio for that. We're going to get his former teammate Alan Mabry up on the line for one last look back on what transpired at Parkhead last Saturday. Alan Mabry obviously played for Hearts during his career. We've also got Aston Villa in the Europa League final to keep an eye on throughout the night. And our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. David Seagrave will be on Newsround duty in just a moment. David, how are you doing?
Not too bad.
Owen Doyle is in early. How are you doing, Owen?
Hey, Owen.
And Arthur O'Dea is back. How are you, Arthur?
Great.
We were on a team-wide meeting earlier and one of our bosses started it by saying congratulations. And I was rubbing my hands. I was like, this is a big congratulations for all the Arsenal fans in the team. And our moment was taken by Arthur O'Dea getting married last week. And Adrian was like, congratulations to Arthur on getting married. So I hope you're happy for stealing our thunder, yeah. Arthur.
He fit in plenty of messages about Westmeath too, to be fair.
He did.
So it wasn't exclusively about me. There was room for it.
Many congratulations, Arthur. Obviously, the most important part about it is that everybody got to experience the joys of Sligo. Everybody who was there in all its glory, of course. Owen Doyle would have spent many a great year in Sligo. I believe the terror we unleashed on the town on Saturday was only matched by your Christmas parties back in 2009-2010.
Yeah, I've definitely enjoyed myself down there a number of years ago now. Wonderful town.
It really is.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's as good as it gets. Like for a wedding day two, I'd say it was especially
sensational. Because we haven't spoken about this on air since, but I think Foley's Pub in Sligo, if anybody's ever been there, is the greatest pub in the universe. Mm. I asked Arthur, I was like, if there's a place where I could watch Celtic versus Hearts, which would be the perfect environment to watch this game, where would it be? And straight off the cuff, he was like, Foley's would be your shout. And boy, did it deliver.
Connolly's is just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Watch the FA Cup final there.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Watch the hurling in a different spot.
Yeah.
You know, the pub crawl came to me, not the other way. I did my duty. So it was absolutely fantastic. Many congratulations, Arthur. How much have we got involved over the last 24 hours in terms of the scrolling through Arsenal content? Has this been something that you guys have enjoyed, or is the neutrality of it all something that you're kind of shrugging off and not really invested in?
Yeah, I'm not against it. I don't really have too many Arsenal fans in my life, so it's kind of passed me by a wee bit. Do you know that kind of way? It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, not good for them.
Yeah,
good for them. I feel like you might be having a slightly different feeling towards it all.
But I can't believe how much time I've spent on my phone over the past 24 hours. Like, went across the road for a couple of pints, glass of wine, like Arsene Wenger yesterday evening, and then just went home and just scrolled on my phone for hours and hours and hours. And it wasn't doom scrolling. I'm calling it joy scrolling. Because every single piece of content was just perfect. Whether it was the stuff that we saw from 5 a.m, at which point I think I was still awake. I think I was getting the 5 a.m. live stuff coming from Rice and Eze and Timber and Saka walking through the Emirates. I got that fresh. I did not wake up this morning, late this morning, getting that. I saw that as soon as it dropped. The Wenger video, as mentioned, the joy and the scenes outside the Emirates were amazing. Like Ian Wright in his Rocastle jersey, arm in arm with Robbie Lyle, the beef is over between AFTV and everybody else. And I think one of the other highlights was Nani Madueke coming home to his mother, who serenaded him as he walked in the door, only for him to turn on his heel straight away and be like, I'm going back out. So a really enjoyable thing. A really enjoyable thing, it seems, going on social media after something like that. Our number is 0879-180-180 if you want to get in touch with us this evening. David Seagrave, where do you want to kick things off? I suspect it is with matters pertaining to Istanbul tonight.
It is indeed, yeah. It's the Europa League taking centre stage this evening with SC Freiburg and Aston Villa looking to add another title to their trophy cabinets. It's the first ever European final for the German side, who've only qualified for continental football 7 times, so it'll be an extra special occasion for them. And on the flip side, Villa are looking to win a European trophy for the first time since 1982. But their manager, Unai Emery, has lifted the Europa League 4 times with Villarreal and Sevilla. However, he insists his record doesn't play into tonight's fixture at all. He did, of course, finish runner-up as manager of Arsenal. Sorry to put the dampener in the title win when they lost to Chelsea in the 2019 final.
To win a title is a consequence. As a consequence, it's not another. The consequence is the process we are. And tomorrow, if we are playing in our best performance, we are going to be close to win. If we are playing in a bad performance, we are not going to win. This is the only way. And I am not a kid in this competition. I am now again with Aston Villa in a new chapter. And everything I did is done. And of course, is there in that moment. But with it, I am not winning tomorrow. I need to win tomorrow with the player we are now, with Aston Villa now, with the opponent we will face tomorrow. Now is a new way, a new moment, and hopefully a new era.
The starting 11 for Aston Villa tonight, it's Emi Martinez in goal, Dini Akanza, Pau Torres, Matty Cash across the back. It's Youri Tielemans in the team. Victor Lindelof is starting tonight as well. Morgan Rogers, Buendia McGinn and Ollie Watkins. So that is Villa's 11. The master of the Europa League speaking there. Oh, need to give them a hell of a chance tonight.
Oh, yeah, they'd be strong favourites in my eyes, yeah. Especially on the recent form as well. They're kind of really hitting great form at the perfect time of the season to be playing like that and winning matches. So yeah, he's obviously put out a strong team there. Obviously, Lindelof's come into the midfield there the last couple of games, bit different, but he's looked comfortable enough in there. I think Onana has been struggling for fitness, but he's back on the bench, so we'll probably see him at some stage later on. But yeah, no, you know, Emery's, like, as you said, like, incredible record in this this competition, and I think he's an underrated manager. I think he's really, really good.
Why do you think he's underrated?
I think when he was at Arsenal, obviously how he came out and the meme that he became probably didn't help his authority, I'd say, around the Arsenal dressing room and the respect that I think his teams deserved over the years from the outside looking in. And you look at how successful he is at Aston Villa now and what he's doing there. Against some huge clubs that, like, I'd say their playing budget is far less than a lot of clubs that are underneath them in the Premier League, and like he's probably the only manager to unmeme himself and gain that respect. For me, I think, like, I know Michael Carrick's going to take on that is taking on that Man United job now, but I think he wouldn't have been out of sorts going in there. I think he's that good of a manager.
The clown mask slipped, is what you're saying, Unai Emery. It's really interesting. I know we're going to get to Bournemouth here now as well, but their kind of hopes of qualifying for the Champions League next season kind of rest on Aston Villa winning tonight, partying so hard that they end up actually losing to a Manchester City team that have got nothing to play for on Sunday, and obviously Liverpool beating Brentford on Sunday as well. Not unthinkable, but fill us in on everything that you've got post Bournemouth and Manchester City last night.
Well, they may have the chance to lift a first European title at their victory parade next week. They've confirmed that the event will take place the day after that Champions League final with the current holders PSG. They, of course, won their first league title since 2004 last night thanks to Manchester City's draw with Bournemouth, and their players were up until the early hours of this morning, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, celebrating their title win, with Miles Lewis-Skelly saying they called us bottlers, but now we're holding the bottles as he celebrated with a big bottle of champagne. Meanwhile, Pep Guardiola refused to be drawn on reports he'd be leaving at the end of this year's campaign. He's been widely reported to depart the Etihad at the end of the season, but the club hasn't confirmed that yet. It's understood he'll step down after this weekend, with former Chelsea boss and City assistant coach Enzo Maresca coming in to replace him. However, he said he wants to meet with the board this week to discuss his future with another year still left on his contract.
Let me talk about my chairman. So I know they love me so much. I love you more. So I know that. So it's the best place to be. I love that place. So I adore it. So let me talk about my club, right? So even the people say I talk 1,000 million people in person, and just I was incredible focusing my job. So and when we are in the competitions, I'm there. I was there, and this is what I have to do.
Feels like a really interesting moment now for the Premier League. I know the automatic temptation after it gets sealed last night is to automatically look ahead to next season, but I think it's a pretty good week to be doing it, given it looks like Pep is going to be leaving, Maresca is going to replace him, even when you consider the likes of what's going to happen at Liverpool with the manager there. We know that Xabi Alonso is going to be manager at Chelsea next season. It's fascinating when you consider next year who the runners and riders might actually be for a title race.
Yeah. It's funny though, the kind of thing is like, I don't know, geez, how far you'd have to go back for all those managers of those top clubs to be so, you want to say lacking, it's nothing to do with talent or ability, but like, I'm not sure who the personalities are now in terms of the dominating figure. Like, who's the, it's funny how we've gone to that from, you only go a few years ago where all these guys so successful, like from Klopp and Guardiola and Mourinho and all these boys were there, to now it's a real change in the guard. Like, when, I just don't know who's the, I know it's reductive, but like, who is the alpha? Who's the, like, who's the guy who's like...
David Moyes.
Yeah, but it's a strange old dynamic change. Like, when you think, like, I mean, Michael Carrick at Man United, Arne Slot, if he's still there, Arteta, who's, you know, still just, he'll stock and rise, but he's still a bit odd. Alonso, I've no idea what he's like in that role. Just front-facing wise, I'm just wondering where the personalities will be, where that, or maybe we're moving more towards players again, kind of being the leading light of things, because it is so much now, it's like you see up on Sky Sports and the screen here and everything, like it's the faces of managers are probably the big thing of the league, and that's been such a powerful, like Klopp and these guys dominated the whole thing, and that's all kind of gone.
It's a great question. Who is the alpha for you in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think Maresca could be very moody at times.
Yeah,
and I'd say now that he's kind of got the floor, now that the likes of the Guardiola is gone and there's no other, like that, he might just come front and centre and become moody like Guardiola was.
Well, he had the floor and he threw his toys out of the pram at Chelsea.
But I don't think he has it while Guardiola's there. Is what I mean.
Yeah.
I think like the fact that Guardiola was there, like he is the alpha. And Klopp was there, he was the other alpha. Now that them two are gone, the likes of Maresca has the opportunity to be seen more, is what I mean by that, you know?
Yeah, he's going to be missed. Like and that's stating the obvious, given he's one of the most successful managers in football's history. But for anybody who doesn't support Manchester City, maybe there was a grating nature to Guardiola, particularly in recent years. I think people would probably take him back in a heartbeat after a few months of the next season actually goes by and everybody realises what a character he actually was, even if he was... also a bit moody himself when it came to some of his public dealings.
Yeah, but like he changed football. Like his style of football, what he started at Barcelona and brought across Europe before he ends up in the Premier League of Man City. I noticed the playing lower league football in England that the game changed the minute he got involved. Everyone starts passing out from the back and trying to get passes in rather than just playing percentage football and going direct from back to front. Like his legacy is more than what he's done at Man City, really. Like, you know, I actually fully believe he's kind of really transformed the game.
We should keep moving on here. This is something we're going to come back to later on in the football show, but you have an update on the Spygate saga.
Yeah, so the revised Championship playoff final has been set for 3:30 kickoff this Saturday. Hull are now set to face Middlesbrough after Southampton were kicked out of this year's decider for spying on a Borough training session. However, an appeal against their punishment, which also included a 4-point deduction for next season, is underway. If the decision is overturned, the original start time will remain in place for a final between Hull and the Saints. And there have been some objections raised to the decision, including from Wrexham's Josh Windass. He posted on social media, "This Southampton story is one of the maddest I've seen, but why isn't the playoffs starting again with the four other teams? Borough versus Hull would have been the semi." And just a reminder, they finished 7th in the Championship table, missing out in the playoff spot by just 2 points.
As I say, we might put some time aside to come back to this on the football show a little later with Owen, but there's loads more to get through and a final football story before the other sports. There's a National League format decided for this year. So fill us in on this.
Yeah, so a bit of home news. Now, the FAI has confirmed the formatting for the first season of the National League. As we already knew, it'll be a shortened season this year ahead of a full competition from 2027. For now, the 15 teams taking part in the first ever edition of the competition have been split into three groups of five. In Group 1, we've Bonagie United, Cockhill Celtic, Home Farm DCU, Lucan United and Merview. In Group 2, it's Letterkenny, Rovers, Mayo FC, Salt Hill Devon, St Francis and TU Dublin. And Group 3 is CK United, Clarny Celtic, Newbridge Town, UCC and Villa FC. So the top three teams in all of those groups will automatically qualify for a semi-final, with the best placed runner-up taking the fourth spot. The winner of those ties then go to a final, which will take place in November, and the fixture details are yet to be confirmed, but the FAI says that they'll start getting underway in late August.
Okay, on to the rugby then, and we've got our first media dealings of the week in Bilbao.
Yeah, Richie Murphy says he'd like his side to live up to the big occasion this Friday. They take on Montpellier in Bilbao in the Challenge Cup ahead of Leinster's Champions Cup decider with Bordeaux the next day. It's more than just a trophy on the line for them, though. A place in the top tier of European competitions awaits after they failed to qualify through the URC. They last lifted European silverware in 1999 with a Celtic Cup title following 5 years later. There is a quick injury update for that game as well. Rob Balakoon and David McCann still in line to return from injury for that game, but Jacob Stockdale is out. Murphy would like his side to etch their name into the Ulster history books this season.
An unbelievable achievement to go to a final and make sure that we give the very best account of ourselves as we possibly can. And, you know, I suppose that's the message this morning with the players. A lot of these players could be their first and it could be their last time they're playing a European Cup final. So it's really important that we attack the week like we always do.
There's another piece of rugby news then today with regards to Clark Dermody.
Yes, he's coming on board as Ulster's forwards coach next season. He's joining from Super Rugby side Highlanders and will take over from Jimmy Duffy, who's departing the club. He earned 3 caps for the All Blacks in his playing days, including one against Ireland in 2006.
Now then, Padraig O'Hara, he's done it.
He has indeed. The ex-Mayo footballer has successfully scaled Mount Everest. The 33-year-old was alongside Aina McGowan of Dublin and Waterford's Adam Sweeney on an expedition lasting 47 days. They're the first all-Irish team since 2003 to reach the summit of the world's highest mountain. Meanwhile, Sweeney is the youngest Irish man to reach the summit at just age 22.
It's amazing. I did a piece with O'Hara for Movember a couple of years ago when we were in a sauna and I interviewed him. And in between recordings, when the microphones we're off, we're just kind of chatting about, you know, life and stuff. And he was telling me, I've got this pipe dream of doing Everest. So that's the next thing. And he had just started to sort of really engage in adventure pursuits, certainly in his post-intercounty playing career when he had a bit more time. I just thought at the time, I was like, that's an amazing singular goal. Who knows if you'll be able to achieve it? Because he had actually outlined the financial constraints that you're under to actually make it there, just how expensive it is, the amount of fundraising you'd have to do, and then on top of it all the physical aspects. And, you know, you could be on Everest for weeks on end and not actually get anywhere close to summiting. And I think there was a moment yesterday, maybe about 24 hours ago, where they thought they were going to summit. They got very close to within 400 metres, I think, and they had to call it off, go down again to their final camp and restart again today, which must just be this harrowing experience where you are literally so close, but so far as it turned out to be. So congratulations to O'Hara. These people are nutcases. They're amazing.
Yeah, complete sickos. wanting to do something like that. Like, it's incredible achievement. Fair play to him. I can promise you that I've nothing like that in the pipeline myself.
No?
Maybe a marathon.
When the mics go off now, you'll tell us about all your plans. A marathon, will this be your first?
Yeah, I've never done one, yeah.
Are you training?
Nope. No, I plan to do one. I only want to do one. Mm-hmm. I'll do it the year, I turned 38 in March. I want to do it before my 40th birthday.
Okay, so you want to get going?
Yeah.
Where would you do it?
I wouldn't mind doing a big one away, like in New York or Chicago or something. I wouldn't ride off the Dublin one. I heard the night out after is fairly decent. So.
Yeah. And is there not a chance that you'd end up getting a bit of the bug?
Potentially. I can't see that now. I wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe. I enjoy running.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's long, like, isn't it?
Marathons are long.
It's
from what I've heard.
Like, the training. Like, I'd be like, if it was tomorrow, I'd go out and just walk it. Like, you know, I'd take no problem. But the training, like, the going out there and running for 2 hours just to prep yourself.
What can you run now? If somebody were to ask you, run as far as you can, how far would you get before you're like, ah, I've had enough?
Oh, I don't know. I'd comfortably do 10-12k, I'd say. Okay.
A decent level of former footballer fitness still remains. Right, we'll get to one or two more stories here. David, what have you got for us next?
Well, Seamus Power's tee time has been decided ahead of the first round of the Byron Nelson tomorrow. He's the only Irishman in the field this weekend. There's no signs of Shane Lowry, while Rory McIlroy had previously said he was taking a few weeks off to focus on the upcoming Memorial Open in a couple of weeks' time. Power gets his first round underway tomorrow at around 20 past one Irish time. Meanwhile, in some other news, Beth Coulter has been named to the Great Britain and Ireland team for next month's Curtis Cup in Los Angeles. She was part of the 2024 winning team during the last tournament in England 2 years ago, and she's the only Irish player named in this year's team, though Elm Park golfer Emma Fleming is second reserve. And just in some other news a little closer to home, Paul Carrington, Tom McKibben and Seamus Power are all confirmed to be taking part at the Irish Open this year.
Okay, very good. And then finally, there's an Ireland squad announced for the Women's T20 World Cup.
Yeah, so Gabby Lewis has been named as the captain for Ireland's upcoming Women's T20 World Cup. However, she will miss out on the tri-series beforehand as she continues her recovery from a leg injury. Jane McGuire has been ruled out, but her sister Amy is back from injury for the tournament. And just a full run through of the squad, we have Gabby Lewis as captain, Orla Prendergast vice-captain, Ava Canning, Christina Coulter-Riley, Alana Danzel, Laura Delaney, Georgina Dempsey, Amy Hunter, Arlene Kelly, Louise Little, Amy McGuire, Lara McBride, Cara Murray, Leah Paul and Rebecca Stokel.
Okay, David, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Loads still to come tonight on Off the Ball. We're going to be joined by Gerry Thornley in studio after the break. He's going to reflect on how much he loved the scenes last night. Gerry Thornley, a big Arsenal fan, but mostly we're going to preview Leinster against Bordeaux and, of course, the Ulster game against Montpellier on Friday night as well. We're going to have Richie Hogan in studio after 8. Owen Doyle will be back in with us between 9 and 10. And we'll also have Alan Mabry with us on the line to talk about Hearts and to talk about Celtic and the conclusion to the Scottish Premiership season. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mL tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. Time for the cash machine.